5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good Friday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome in to the whole show powered by Chevron. We are ready to rock and roll on Gel. Football Friday coming up at 1, thanks to our friends over at Crazy Carl's Pizza. The best pizza around. I mean, they're world famous now, and I know that. So a big weekend, though, for all of the teams that we're covering here. It's a test weekend for the Colorado Buffaloes. It's opportunity weekend, I would say, for the UNC Bears. Now you're starting Big Sky play and see if Ed Lamb can get his first dub as the head coach of the Bears. So we're looking forward to that game, Idaho State, this weekend. We got the picks coming up, taking a look at CSU and Middle Tennessee. Now, Angel, I went on Twitter and I said, mark my words, the Rams are going to win the next three games. Some people are like, that's a jinx, don't do that. Other people were like, dude, a blind squirrel could make those picks, could make that pick. Did you not remember? Do you guys not remember that Middle Tennessee came into Fort Collins last year and beat them? So I don't think it's like that easy of a pick. And Utah State? Utah Tech, I don't know. I mean, that's probably an easy pick. But Utah State, I know they got smoked by Air Force last week. But that's not a gimme. I don't think it's like is that an easy prediction for me to go on X and say they're going to win the next three games? I don't think so. The Rams won three games last season. And I'm saying they're going to equal that total in the next 3 weeks. Yeah, that's kind of going out on a limb. I'm sorry, but that's going out on a limb a little bit. So good job to me for doing that, for being brave and tweeting that out and getting after it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It is a monster test for a lot of these teams, though. You look at Colorado State, you got to start. You got to start winning. And, you know, Jay Norvell is, yeah, we were so pumped to get Jay Norvell to Colorado State and seeing what he did in Nevada with his second season, the way he turned that around quickly. He seems like he's the right guy. But at some point, we got to start saying, okay, no more. Yeah, maybe next year. This has got to be the year you do something. Did you like, I mean, do we like Braden Fowler, Nicolosi coming out and saying, you know, we're going to be in a bowl game and we're going to play in the Mountain West Championship game. Do you like that kind of moxie? Is that just who he is? And if you're the coaching staff, you really just want to let that go? Go out and predict stuff.
I don't dislike it. I mean, he should have confidence. He played a fairly good game against CU. He won the team over, whether or not that was something he still had to do before that game. He's the guy now. So he's got that confidence now.
And I guess we're going to find out for sure tomorrow, but how much of the Rocky Mountain Showdown game do you look at and just say, man, they were up for that. They were up for that more than they have been in a very long time. Can they get up for Middle Tennessee? And if you can't, then you shouldn't be out there, because this team beat you last year on your home turf.
I think they can, because I didn't see that game as just a determinant of this season, but I think it's a determinant of Jay Norvell's time in CSU. That is what type of team Jay Norvell wants in CSU, a team that can compete, put up points, and, you know, play hard, play tough. And I think they needed to see that themselves and show themselves that they could do that. So now you have that confidence to rely on.
It's got to be the jumping off point. It's got to be the jumping off point for CSU. You didn't win, but you shocked a lot of people. You got a lot of naysayers out there, including people in your own state. Angel, I heard somebody yesterday in Denver. And again, we scan to see what's going on in the world and in our own state. And this guy, very controversial guy, he said that CSU was a trap game for CU, that it was difficult to get up for that game. He said, you know, you beat Nebraska, that's your game you care about, and then you know you got Oregon the next week. CSU, hard to get up for that. They literally said this in Denver. It's like Colorado State doesn't exist to some of these people. What do you mean hard to get up for? That's your rivalry it's a must win for CU. So I don't like that, almost excusing the fact that CU had to get to double overtime to win that game. It just shows you more of the bias, and it's not just a primetime thing. That's how it's been for a very long time. CSU is considered nothing to some of these fans and some of these media, some of these reporters. And some of them love the fact that Jay Norvell said what he said, because then now they have a real reason to really go after them.
Is the shine wearing off?
For primetime?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, because they were supposed to beat CSU by 50.
No, I think they're excusing it.
They got challenged.
I think they're excusing it, saying they didn't get up for that game. It was a trap game. Because they got Oregon and USC coming up next.
If you don't get up for those games.
I'm just telling you, I don't think the shine has worn off at all.
Are they preparing themselves for the shine to fall off so they can get these kind of excuses out there? Like, they just weren't up for the game. No, it's fine. They'll be up next week for sure. Yeah. They weren't up for the first half against Nebraska.
No, it was a bad first half. Turnovers kept them in the lead, really. I mean, 13-3 at halftime of that game?
Mm-hmm.
Two of the scores came from a fumble and an interception. Hey, still, you got to score. You still got to do something with it. People always say, well, if they wouldn't have got an interception, it wouldn't. Well, you got to get the interception. You got to force turnover. So you don't take that away. But yeah, offensively, Colorado wasn't really there in the first half of the Nebraska game. But what I liked about what CU did against Nebraska was, okay, the offense has taken a while to warm up. Your defense is keeping you in the game, allowing you opportunities to go up at the half. So I don't think the shine has worn off. Even if they get smoked by Oregon, do you think that the shine will then wear off at that point?
At least a little bit.
I think a little bit. I think it'll bring them back down to earth, and there will still be a lot of hype and talk. But
it'll give people a real chance to look at this team realistically. And, okay, now I could say they're about a 7-8 win team.
And that's how I feel anyway. If you beat Oregon, though, now you're really talking. Now you're talking about an opportunity to go into the playoffs this year. You'll at least be talking about that. Plenty of tests still to come for CU. Who's the tougher matchup right now for the Buffs? Is it Oregon or USC? Because I think
their toughest matchup is the next one.
Well, so yeah, coach.
Well, I mean, just you shouldn't even be looking at USC right
no,
now.
No, I'm asking, though. Who's the tougher matchup? Who's the scarier team right now?
I think they both are kind of scary for the Buffs. I think Oregon can throw the ball on them, and I think USC can just do whatever they want to them.
Well, and Oregon's good in the trenches.
Yep.
They can block. It's not just throwing the ball, 4 million yards a game. They can run the ball as well. So that's where I would be worried if I'm a Buffs fan looking forward at some of these contests. Because you got USC sitting at 5 and Oregon sitting at 10. The Ducks know that if it's a close game against CU, are they going to move up? Is there movement there if they win 42-35? Is there movement for Oregon to move up? I mean, they're at 13. I can't imagine. If they're 21, you do look at spreads in this situation, and if they're 20, what are they, 21-point favorites?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get close to covering that, I don't know that you move up. And for Oregon, every week they're trying to get themselves in that top 5 spot.
Yeah, I think that also depends on all the teams in front of them, how they do, but I think there's a chance if they win, they can get into the top 10. I think because of how hyped up CU is, if you beat them, you're going to be hyped up.
Even if it's a close game?
Sure.
They could move into the top 10? Where's CU sitting? They dropped one spot, right?
Mm-hmm. They're at 19.
If they get smoked by Oregon, they're not moving out of the top 25.
No, they won't drop out of there.
But there's going to be movement there. There would be some movement, negative movement, for the Colorado Buffaloes. If you find a way to stay in this game, then I do believe if you're in this game in the fourth quarter, kind of like they were against CSU, and that's a big if, I do think Shador Sanders is good enough and poised enough in late game situations where you could sure make it interesting. But Bo Nix, dude, I mean, Bo Nix is damn good. Is he an NFL, good NFL guy? You think he's going to? Because last year he was rolling and then he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And Oregon was talked about going to the playoffs that year too, and then he gets hurt. But that's he's a do we say he's a special player?
I haven't seen enough of him since he left Auburn to really tell. I think he's played better since his first 2 years in Auburn. So, yeah, he's solid. He's up there with the Pac-12 quarterbacks right now. So,
yeah,
solid.
Well, there's a lot to get to. Short time to do it. Hey, I'm excited about this next guest. Eric Lacroix going to join us, former Colorado Ave. We're going to talk a little Avalanche. Preseason for them starts Sunday. Regular season's right around the corner. Also, Eric's involvement with the Colorado Grit, they're doing some great things, some exciting things. They got another home game or home stand coming up next weekend going up against the Odessa Jackalopes. There's another awesome opportunity to get out and watch this program, this team. Let's talk to Eric next. 16 minutes after the hour. Let's take a break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
No more gimmicks. No more jokes. Just the games. Broncos games are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We have to figure out what Eric's go-to when it comes to music is, because we need a good intro. That's a great intro, but I don't know. We might need something cool. Eric Lacroix, former Colorado Avalanche, joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline. Eric, my friend, what's the music? What's the choice for you, man?
Oh, man. You know, like, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm getting old. I got teenagers. They take over the music. You know, I don't... I'll listen to country, though, if I have.
Your country, you know, you're a country music guy. More people this week that I've talked to are like, I love country. People love country music. There's no question about it, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'll listen to your show, or, you know, if I'm in the area, or I'll listen to NHL Network on XM there. But, if not, I'll listen to country. You know what I mean.
So you're more of the mindset when it's your decision in the vehicle. You're sportsing it up. You're listening to sports. You're staying involved because you're of course involved in all the stuff. Talking abs, of course, with the Grit too. So you're just trying to stay in that world.
Absolutely. Or I'll make some phone calls. You know what I mean. That's my way of getting rid of phone calls and just kind of talking, like I said, teenagers, man, they just rule the car. I'm last.
I don't understand the music nowadays. I mean, everybody went crazy for the Taylor Swift stuff. That's not really my style, but man, you talk to all like 90% of the people around here, like Taylor Swift, that's the thing.
Oh, my daughter's a Swiftie. Yeah, she saw her this summer at Mile High. She's excited. Oh yeah.
Did you go?
I did not. I'd like to tell you, she wanted no part of me going with her. She's too old now. You know, she's like, yeah, no.
Were you bummed about that, or were you like, hey, come on, give me an invite here? I'd like to be a part
actually,
of this.
I know. I wanted to go outside there. I was reading online everything about the concerts outside. You know, meeting like outside the stadium. Everybody like tries to listen and everybody gets together, but you know, my other son didn't want to go with me, so there you go.
I bet you didn't think we'd start this segment talking about Taylor Swift, Eric. I bet that wasn't in the cards. Eric Lacroix joining
young.
I want to talk, obviously, each week we're going to catch up with you, man. It's just an absolute thrill, an honor. So many people reached out. They're like, you get to talk to Eric Lacroix every week? And that's I was like, well, this is a great opportunity. Obviously, we want to talk abs with you, but Colorado Grit, I'm hearing more and more about folks going to these games, and I didn't know exactly what to expect, but my goodness, I walked away, and that was some thrilling hockey.
It was awesome. It was a great first weekend. It was fun. Crowd was into it. It was exciting. You know, again, they lost those games, but every game was tight. And actually, I do believe El Paso is going to have a good season this year. They seem to be like a very nice, good team. But you know, the Grit went on the road last weekend, right? They showcased in Minnesota and went undefeated in four games. So now they're in Oklahoma City, but looking forward to get back next weekend here against, I believe, Odessa, right at home at the Ice House. So they're excited. They're pumped. And I mean, from talking to some of the kids, they love being on the ice, and the crowd was electric, and certainly was fun to be in the stands. I'll tell you, it was awesome. Job well done by everybody that's associated with the Grit, and I thought it was a first-class weekend.
Yeah, like you said, on the road beginning tonight against Oklahoma and then tomorrow, and then back home, as you mentioned, with against Odessa, another wonderful opportunity for folks to get out and check this team out for local hockey. You're just not going to get anywhere else.
Oh, it's awesome, and especially now with, you know, the Avalanche or the Eagles, or, you know, no one has really started yet, right? They're still a few weeks away, so it's an awesome time to go and check out the Grit and go downtown Greeley and go to some restaurants right around there, some awesome establishments. And, you know, like I said, I thought it was awesome to see the community gathering together that first weekend. And, again, I'm looking forward to the next weekend. It should be awesome. And, I know the players are, too, just by talking to some of them. They were excited to get back home and really get that feeling again like they had last week or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, folks, mark your calendar. September 29th, 7 o'clock at the Ice House. And then Saturday, September 30th at 3:45 in the afternoon. You can get your tickets at ColoradoGritHockey.com. Eric, you mentioned the Avs. I mean, we've got preseason hockey coming up later this weekend as well. Their season's about to start. They were talking, of course, to the media and everything yesterday, and I think a lot of Avs fans really wanted to hear what Valeri Nichushkin had to say about the interesting exit last year during the playoffs. There was a lot of talk surrounding that event. Valeri didn't really go into that much, though. He's kind of ready to turn the page. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting right here at Family Sports right now. The Avs are on the ice, and training camp's underway, like you said. And medicals, physicals a couple days ago, big meeting, big team dinner for them. And, no, it's exciting. There's a lot of people here at Family Sports watching the sessions, and Coach Bednar's out there. And, obviously, some guys missing, like Kale and guys like that. But I don't think it's anything bad. You're talking about Landeskog, obviously, that everyone knows about. Other than that, it's all minor little things. It's good to see Manson out there. But you're right, Nichushkin did address the media yesterday, and it does sound like it was handled internally within the players and within the front office. And, you know, Val faced the media yesterday and said he's moving forward, and it's something that he's talked with his teammates. And 2 days ago, they made Kale available, and Nate and Devontae's and guys like that. They did touch on the subject, saying that they had talked to him. He's good to go. They're on the same page, and it's a personal decision, personal reasons, and all that kind of stuff. So they did address it. The big fella looks good out there. I'm not going to lie to you. He looks rested, and as we know, last year he was a little banged up at his ankle all season long, but he did look good yesterday, and I think it's going to be good. I think a summer was good for them to get back into it and, get that hunger back again. And I think you're going to see a hungry Avalanche team this season, absolutely, starting Sunday. Yeah. Sunday with a preseason game. Sunday.
It's crazy. We got all this great stuff going on, and sometimes these preseasons just kind of sneak up on you. I'm looking at, obviously, the Avs are in camp getting set for preseason. The Nuggets will be checking in pretty soon. This is why late September, October, favorite month if you're a sports fan.
Oh, absolutely. And what about the CU Buffs, right? I mean, it's just like unreal. And CSU, what a great showing last week. That game was awesome to watch. Again, the sports, it's a sports town, right? We're lucky. We're fortunate. We get all the major league sports and obviously college atmospheres and junior hockey now with the NHL and Greeley. So it doesn't get better to be in Colorado. And you're bang on. This is the time of year. It's my favorite time of the year. The weather-wise, the temperature drops a little bit and sun's out and sports is full force. So, yeah, awesome. And there's an awesome weekend coming up.
Eric Lacroix joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. You talk about Gabriel Landeskog and how much he means to this team. I mean, we talk about a lot of great players on this show and leaders of teams. But, man, you just look at Landeskog and what he's meant to the Avs. Over, especially the last couple of seasons, that injury, and when you heard that he was going to be out again this season, how much of an impact? Obviously, it's going to have a major impact. But now that you kind of know, I mean, last year you just kind of wondered, is he going to make a comeback? What's that going to look like? Is it easier when you go into the season kind of knowing what you got?
Absolutely, he addressed it. I think it's easier for him to come out front and say, "Hey, I'm not playing all year. Last year, if you remember, it was like, okay, he'll be gone 2 months, and then 2 months went by. It's like, oh, okay, it's been delayed another 6 weeks. Then after 6 weeks, oh, it's delayed another, 8 weeks or 4 weeks, and then, oh, I think he's out, right? So I think he felt it was a distraction. This guy's awesome. I believe in him, and I know a lot of the fan base does, obviously his teammates, coaches, but he's going to come through. He's going to, he's going to see this thing through, see wherever it leads him, and wherever it leads him, it will. But he will see it through, and hopefully, cross our fingers, he'll be back in an Avalanche uniform, wearing number 92. I got a lot of faith. I was part of the management group that named him, the youngest captain in the history of the NHL. So you can hear from me that this is no fluff. This guy's the real deal. He's so respected by everybody. Now he's a father with two kids. So proud of him. So awesome to watch. Obviously, the last 10 years or so, a dozen years. So he's a true competitor. He's a true team-first mentality guy, and what a hockey player he is. He is surely missed, but I think that is just having his presence around. You could feel it the other media day. And, of course, he'll be gone a little bit during the season at times, like he said, for whatever he needs to do to get himself ready. He might have to be out of town, but he'll be here at times too. So I think that he's part of that group text with his teammates. He's a big presence, even though he's not there. But, yeah, we're going to cross our fingers and see what happens with him.
Eric, who do you see as being that vocal leader? Because obviously we know the Avs have so many studs on the ice. Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, so many great players. But when you look at it, who can fill that void? Or, last year I thought it was interesting, and I'm not really saying it was a bad or good thing, when you knew for sure Gabriel Landeskog's down. The captain thing, we're not gonna really appoint a captain or whatever. What does that look like? Who does that guy look like to you as far as that guy that's gonna step up and really be that vocal leader this season?
Well, internally there's always guys that, we or the public is not really aware of, but obviously their core with Nate and Kale, and those guys play such big minutes and such important minutes, and they're such hard workers at practice and games. Everybody follows them. So they're leaders that way. But you can't discard a guy like Cogliano. There's a reason why he's there. He's an older guy. He's done everything now, winning a cup and, being around this league. And he's always reinventing himself with, over his career, like maybe as a more top six guy, then reinvented himself as a bottom six guy. Now he's reinventing himself as a leader or vocal guy. So you got to remember, a guy like that is very important. And I think that the guys now have learned how to win. And, guys will take bigger steps, whether it's Bo Byram, whether it's Logan O'Connor, whether it's guys that have been in that dressing room. And then you throw that in there with Miles Wood that comes in, and he seems to be like a vocal guy. And we talked to him yesterday, and he's one of those guys not too shy to speak. So you need guys like that. You can't have a quiet dressing room. So I think they do have the right mix. And obviously they got MacKinnon at the forefront with, his drive and his, attitude to win. And I think you follow that, and then somewhere, somehow you overcompensate the loss of Gabe by not being there on a daily basis. But don't kid yourself. Gabe's got his imprints and his footprints all over that dressing room still.
Joining us now on our first Vintage Hotline, Eric Lacroix. Eric, last one for you. Just kind of looking at this team, obviously it was such a magical run over us, a year and a half ago or whatever, winning that Stanley Cup, and then last year still getting to the playoffs, but ultimately losing to Seattle. What do you see with this team? Do you think that they get back on top where they're one of the more feared teams in the NHL?
Absolutely, and if you talk to people around the league, A lot of experts, whatever you want to call that, but they're going to pick them to win. I mean, I certainly pick them to win. I'm not afraid to say it. I'll say it. They'll win. I do believe that the longer summer, last year was such a short summer, shortest summer in the history of the league. And then, you get banged up when you win, and then the surgeries and everybody having to go through it. They need to go through with some bad luck with injuries during the season. They just ran out of gas. I do believe that. They ran out of gas, and they didn't have the team on the ice to go through that series, and ultimately they lost in seven, right? But I do believe that summer was beneficial for them. Guys really got their bodies back where, you got to remember, in the summertime is when you get ready for the grueling season of the 82 games. You don't get shaved during the season, obviously. It's just upkeep during the season. But in the summer, you go, and that's why you train. You train to be able to take on those road trips and those airlines, I mean, those air miles and those, you know, time zones. And I always say it, it's tough to play in the West. It's a cupcake in the East. You know, it's easy. It's the same time zone. You're in your bed at 11:30 at night. In the West, you got to get in there and you play three different time zones. You know, air miles. There's no like 30-minute bus ride, you know, down the street. It's tough. It's grueling to play in the West, but you got to get your body acclimated to it during the off season. I just do believe last summer there wasn't enough time for everybody to get on the same page.
Well, it's like a double-edged sword. I mean, you want to be playing deep into the summer because that means you're advancing, you're getting close, you're competing for a Stanley Cup. But at the same time, hockey maybe more than any sport, Eric, you speak on this better than me, grueling. Those playoffs are just absolutely grueling. They are intense. You cannot blink. It's not the concentration that you have, especially in a playoff series. It can physically wear you out, but mentally exhaust you too. And as great of a run as that was to win the cup, I mean, you did it. You know, it didn't lose a lot in that run, but at the same time, it was still absolutely exhausting for this team. And you always wonder about that in summer teams when they push through the summer, just how they're going to respond the next year.
Oh, you're bang on. And like you said, there's the mental aspect, physical aspect. You can't forget about the fact that you won. Therefore, guys have proven that they can do it. Then where does it hurt you? Well, it hurts you on your roster. You know, guys like Kadri, Burakovsky, guys are leaving because they're getting paid, right? You know what I mean? So you're overstaying your stay here because you don't fit in the cap anymore. That's every team. That's just the Avalanche, because now you just can't fit those guys. And then you get depleted of draft picks as well, because you go and get some players like, I don't know, or whatever it is, and those are the right moves to make. But then all of a sudden, you know, you're getting rid of a, you know, second round pick, or you got rid of a first round pick for, I don't remember. I mean, I'm just using, I don't have anything in front of me, but what I'm saying is you're depleting a little bit your prospect pool to go after it. And the Avs, as they should, have been going after it, and I love it because it gives them, you know, draft picks are great, but you know, when you don't make the playoffs, then that's if you don't make the playoffs and you don't have draft picks, you're in trouble. But if you're making, you know, runs at Stanley Cups and you don't have draft picks, that's a good problem to have.
Eric Lacroix joining us. Eric, he's a busy man, but he's going to be talking hockey with us throughout the course of the season. We'll actually have some Avs hockey after the first weekend, at least, of preseason. We'll be talking that. We'll be talking Colorado Grit with you each and every week. I just love it, man. It's an honor to get you on the program, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week as we promote another homestand coming up for the Colorado Grit.
Call me anytime. I'm always there for you guys. Thank you.
All right, my man. Eric Lacroix, former Colorado Avalanche, and he's there. Like, he's watching this team. He stayed so involved. Dude, his resume, of course, he's the son of former Colorado Avalanche president Pierre Lacroix. He was in various management positions. He was a part of some of those big decisions and everything. So we just love having him on the program each and every opportunity we can get. It's a big-time guest for us. All right, that's going to do it for this segment presented by the Colorado Grit. Their home schedule coming up. Are you going to get out next week, Angel? You getting out to some of these home games? Check them out next weekend?
I think I'm supposed to go Friday.
All right. You pumped for that?
Well, that's a week away, so I'll get excited.
Oh, yeah. You're like a coach, you know, day by day. Take it one day at a time. And then when you get to that point, you'll evaluate and see where you are.
Yep.
All right. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies for being a huge sponsor of this program. They have a spine specialist, hip and knee specialist, foot and ankle specialist. Basically, if it's somewhere on your body, they have a specialist for that. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check them out online at orthohealth.com. I want to remind you, too, our game beer of the week is going to be left-hand milk stout this weekend. And check out the Shine Shop this afternoon for their tasting. That's at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, I wanted to revisit, since we're talking hockey, it's not Football Friday until 1, thanks to Crazy Carl's Pizza. This the UNC
club hockey thing. Anything else coming out on that? I mean, that's an interesting story, and it's got a lot of people in the community torn, I guess. Some are like, dude, no, they should be fine. Let them play. And then the others are like, what? What is that? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any updates since about a week ago when it was announced that the club will be suspended for two seasons.
Oh, just two seasons?
I believe it's two.
Okay.
On allegations of hazing and underage drinking.
Yeah. And that was the infamous, the coach or manager or whatever. The guy is like, everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Or like the club president, which is the student.
Student, who's just like, everybody's doing it. It's like in, did you ever see the movie Old School when Will Ferrell's gone streaking and his wife's like, what are you doing? And he turns around, he's like, everybody's doing it. That's not a response. It's not going to work then. And it's not going to work now. I go back to this with the UNC hockey thing. I mean, what more is there do you need to know? It's on school property, on one of their campus houses or whatever, and there was underage drinking going on, and it sounds like a good chunk of the players were a big part of that. So, yeah, and you're a club hockey team. You screw up,
like,
we're
this
probably
isn't
not going to keep going.
A bunch of your friends getting some hockey gear and going to play at the ice house every Friday night. This is a school organized club that's run by students.
But funded by the school, right?
Yes. And the school cannot facilitate a program that commits underage drinking or hazing.
No. It's much like if we hear a story, again, hypothetical, UNC football players went out to a club and there was underage drinking going on. Okay, that's a bad deal. Those players will be dealt with individually. This was on campus at your place, and it was like,
and this
it's
isn't
almost
like,
sanctioned by the hockey club.
This isn't reprimanding college kids. Oh, college kids drink. Yeah, they do.
Yes,
it doesn't
do.
Mean they don't get in trouble for underage drinking. It doesn't mean schools can't get in trouble for underage drinking. I had an empty bottle of vodka in my dorm room as a freshman, and I got in trouble
Angel,
for it.
You did that?
Yes.
Was that yours?
No.
No.
I split it with somebody.
What?
But I had the bottle, and it was empty for like a month, and I got in trouble for it.
Do you think doing alcohol is cool, Angel?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
But, acting like, oh, he's college, got him have fun. No. This was a privilege to have a club hockey team, and you took advantage of that privilege, and now you lost it.
I agree. Again, because you're on campus.
You are representing a university.
So they're going to be back in 2 years?
They're trying to appeal it, but I haven't seen anything about that.
Yeah. So they're out for 3 years. Okay. Yeah, it's a weird deal. My first thought was, oh, yeah, that's right. There's the club thing. But again, it's club hockey. If you screw up, we're going to probably move away from that because it's club hockey. It's not D1 sports that we are building upon here and making, you know, it's like financially helping us out, helping the school out. And I don't know what the money situation was like. Did club hockey, you said that they'd fill it up. There'd be a lot of people there to watch. So maybe they were bringing in some kind of money to the school. I don't know. Couldn't be a whole heck of a lot. Didn't you say students get in free?
Mm-hmm.
So students go free anyway, and that's probably a majority of people that are going to those games. So, interesting story. We'll see if they win their appeal. But your response, your response or your case or whatever better be a lot better than everybody's doing it.
Yeah,
you better
no
come up with something better than that.
Than a fraternity. Fraternity's getting just as much trouble as this.
Yeah. The response is not everybody's doing it. Be better than that.
It happens, absolutely. But it can't happen when you are wearing your school's logo and representing your school as a university.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Tight-knit Brewing poll question of the day. If the Broncos lose this weekend, go 0-3, is it tank time for the Denver Broncos? Tank for nothing's catchy. Tank for, what rhymes with Shador?
Crash for Caleb. Dump it for Drake. Or
what rhymes with Shador? Lose or a lot of games for Shador.
Yeah. I'm gonna say blank show for Shador.
I don't know. Maybe. Did you see Primetime got a parking ticket?
I did.
Wow. Even he can get a ticket. If he can get a ticket, we're all screwed.
Oh, you can't do that to Prime. He's Prime. He can park wherever he wants.
My boy Steve Ivey with Ram Nation tweeted that out, and he said it's personal now between primetime and the parking people.
That intern probably got fired today.
Dude, I'll tell you one thing about schools. You know what they like to do, colleges? They love to ticket people. I mean, if you're even driving around thinking about parking, they're like, they pop up out of a bush. And they're like, you going to park there today? Like, that's what happens there.
You mean even after I've paid thousands of dollars to attend the school?
They don't care.
I have to pay another $150 to park in a parking spot by my dorm?
I'm just like, there's three. When I go to watch CSU practice, you know, there's like three media members there. You can't hook us up. We're there for like 30 minutes. But we got to pay.
No, because what if we have an important guest visitor that needs to get into the academic buildings and they need a parking spot?
It's just crazy, man. You pull into UNC campus, park, get out, turn around, and there's Billy Bob there ticketing you. Man, they must make, that's a racket, isn't it? We're in the wrong line of work.
It's a job. Someone's got to pay that job salary, and you got to do your job to get paid.
Because you know if you're a parking, what are they called? Parking police?
Attendants, monitors.
You know there's going to be people parking illegally in there. So just a matter of going and finding them.
I don't think they feel good about it.
You don't think so?
It's their job. You
Nothing about you is right, man. 11:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. Let's talk about the Broncos. If they start 0-3, only six teams have made the playoffs after starting 0-3 since 1979. So, yeah, history would not be on your side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
I think the old Thursday night special, Angel, is officially on life support right now. 0-3, yeah, there's three games, and I've lost all three of them, and that's how that 0-3 record would happen. You know, the Giants had it. They were covering that thing, and then San Francisco goes crazy and scores 10 in the fourth. Brock Purdy, 310 yards, two touchdowns, had a rating of 111. You know, you had Christian McCaffrey do his thing, 18 carries for 85 yards. You hearing that, Broncos country? Your star running back had 18 carries, and Elijah Mitchell had 11 carries. You ran the ball 39 times for 141 yards and a touchdown. That makes life easier on who? Brock Purdy. It's a nice little lesson. Hopefully the Broncos were watching last night. San Francisco won 30-12. San Francisco that good or are the Giants that bad?
The Giants are that bad.
Yeah, it doesn't. They don't.
They look completely out of sorts.
Oh, my goodness. My boy, Daniel Jones. I should have stayed on the side.
Quarterback, that, sure.
Well, I didn't like him 2 years ago, and then I liked him last year, and now.
He just doesn't have any weapons. There is no threat on that offense.
He's always under pressure. He was only sacked twice, but felt like he was under pressure the whole time. You know, he didn't. Talk about running, lack of running the ball. 29 yards for them. So that's bad. Who's the guy stepping up for the Giants? Like, without Barkley, of course, him being out, that hurt. But I just don't see who's really stepping up. I mean, did you see the throw to Darren Waller, the pick that Jones threw? He throws it to Waller, and Waller just, he was like he was a setter in volleyball. He sees the ball come at him, and he just sets it. Doesn't try to catch it. He sets it, and it goes straight up in the air for 87 yards. And then, of course, San Francisco pulls it down for an interception. So it's just like, Giants are bad. Thursday night special is bad. Who we got next week? Do you know? I don't know. I don't know who it is. But it's must win. It's must win. Got to figure it out. Oh, Detroit and Green Bay.
That'll be fun.
Will it?
Yeah.
Who initially stands out? Who wins that?
I think Detroit stands out.
Probably,
right now.
But, you know.
That's a divisional matchup right there. That's a, you know, NFC North decider right there.
I'm very interested to watch, but Angel, I have pressure on me. People are expecting me to get back to my old Mr. Thursday Night Special form. So it's stressful. I can't just sit back and relax and watch a game anymore. I have to get right here. I got to get a win. I can't go 0-4. I won't make the playoffs. 0-3, I have a really tough shot at doing that. All right, second hour coming up. We'll get to the lunch rush. Pac-12 Mountain West. Relegation. Think about it. We'll talk about it next.